Certainly is good to be with you all again. Appreciate the opportunity to present the message. As we enter to our lesson, I think that there are a lot of questions that I love to answer, especially back home conducting my Bible studies. I've overheard people ask questions that they would like to learn about, and so I thought, well, that would make a good lesson. So I happened to overhear a comment that a lot of people tend to make, and I thought we need to examine this to see if, in fact, these things are so. The statement is made, it doesn't matter what you believe because we all are trying to get to the same place. You ever hear that? I know I have several times, and so I thought, well, why not see, does the Bible teach? Do we all get to the same place? I know if I were to ask you which roads you like to travel on, there's a few highways, a few interstates, and county roads and state roads around here. And if you take different ones, you'll go in different directions, will you not? And I know that if I were to ask certain people out here, well, how do you get to such and such a place? Well, I could learn who to ask and who not to ask, because one person may not know. Or another person might say, well, you go this way, and somebody else say, you go a different way. But if I were to go north, east, south, and west, I would wind up in four different places. And so in order to get to heaven, where we're all striving to get, we need to use the right directions. Let's see what the Bible says, but unfortunately, there are those that do not take that road. There are two basic views that people have, and here is the first one. From a worldly perspective, it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what you teach, it doesn't matter how you live, because we all do get to the same place. But let's go to the Bible. First of all, we go to the book of Proverbs. There in chapter 12 and in verse 15, the wise man says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." A fool would do something that he would do in his own way. And the Bible has a lot to say about foolish things. And therefore, we do not want to lean upon our own understanding. The Bible says we need counsel, God's counsel, the Word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light that is to our path. But else the other way of the world would be a way of death. You see, two chapters later in Proverbs chapter 14, there in verse 12 we read, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And we find the exact same words later in chapter 16 and verse 25. And so if we do what the world says, we do our own thing and go our own way, sadly, is going to lead to a destination that we did not intend to go. And therefore, another characteristic of the world is you find it's often very dishonest. You find that there are many thieves and robbers that will try to go some other way. And you know, Jesus had something to say about them. When you come to the Gospel of John in chapter 10, there in verse 1, Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, I know that there have been a lot of crimes down south, just as they're here up north, and anywhere you go. And if you read the reports of how people sneak in to steal something, well, first of all, they don't do it in broad daylight, do they? They want to wait till it's dark, when nobody's watching, when in fact they do not believe they will ever be found out. And also, they're not just going to walk right in the front door. They're not going to call his head and say, "Hello, I'm coming to rob you. Be sure to leave the place open for me." No, they're going to sneak around. Perhaps go in the back way. Find an open window or something that's been unlocked or something that they can easily break through. And also, when you come later to John chapter 10, there in verse 8, he says, "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. You see the contrast in what Jesus says versus what the world wants to believe? He says that if you come through me, you can have life. If you go the way of the world, it's going to lead unto death. And so then that brings us to the second view. What is a better way to go rather than the way of the world? Well, simply, it is the biblical way. The way that God has designed. And so, when we go to His inspired Word, let's see, God, what would you want us to do? Jesus, what is your example? How should we follow that? And so then we find Jesus said in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And notice verse 4. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Jesus says, my way is easy to know. If you listen to the world, you're going to get confused, and yes, you are going to be lost. But if you go the way of Christ, we can know it. But Thomas, in verse 5, said unto him, Lord, we do not know where you were going, and how can we know the way? But Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except by me. When Jesus says, I am the way, that tells us there is no other way but Him. Therefore, if we want to get to the Father, the only way is through the Son. If we want to get to heaven, we've got to do what Jesus says that we may be there. But you see, the world would disagree. They would say, I can do what I want to do. I can go my own way. And therefore, it's very easy to go that way. Which takes us to what Clark read to us a moment ago. When you go to Matthew chapter 7, there in verse 13, Jesus had a lot to say about that way. He says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads into life, there are few who find it. A lot of times, do we ever want to do something simply because that is what everybody else is doing? Well, it has to be the right way because that's where all the people are going. Just follow the crowd and you'll get to the right destination. But you know, that's not the way it always was throughout the Bible. We find even in the Old Testament, not to follow after the crowd to do evil. Sometimes it may be wrong even if the majority of people is doing it. I don't want to take the road that everybody else is going on. I'd rather take the road less traveled. I want to take the straight gate, the narrow way that leads unto life, not the wide gate that everybody else is going that leads unto death. And so, how might I do that? Well, let's come down then just a few more verses. We find then, picking up in verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. For many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There are those that often say, Lord, Lord. But Jesus says it's not enough just to say, Lord, Lord. In fact, you call me Lord, but do you do the things that I say? If we want to go on the right way, we've got to follow the right leader. And just because I know, well, this is what he said to do, but I don't do anything, I'm not going to get there, am I? That's why I've got to not only listen to the word of Christ, I've got to do it. And you'll notice that in Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 24, there is a very similar passage. In fact, Luke says something just slightly different, but kind of in the same context. Here he says, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open unto us,' he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you where you are from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. For there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out.' I don't know about you, but I do not want to be on the outside looking in. I want to be inside where it is safe, where it is eternal, where I can always be with God, with His Son, and with those that have obtained like precious faith." And so as I do something about that, you'll find something very similar about those words, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." Does this not remind you of the parable that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25? There, beginning in verse 1, remember reading about the 10 virgins that were invited to the wedding feast? There were 5 that were wise, there were 5 that were foolish, and those that were wise carried extra oil for their lamps. Those that were foolish did not. And so when they were all getting ready to meet the bridegroom, of course, those that were foolish ran out of oil for their lamps. And so when they tried to ask the wise, "Give us some of yours," sadly, they were turned away. But instead, they had to go out to the city and get some for themselves. And it was while they were gone that the bridegroom came back. And as they were wise entering into the wedding feast, we find that's when the foolish tried to come back and could not get in. So what did they do? Cry out, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." Because they were not prepared. Because they did not do what was right, they could not enter in. And therefore, if we want to get to heaven, we too have to do what is right. You see, the book of James in chapter 1 teaches us that just knowing the Word of God is not enough. We read in James chapter 1 and verse 21, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer of the work, but a doer, this one will be blessed in what he does." I don't know if you're the type of person to stand in front of the mirror and take a long look at yourself admiringly, only to go away and forget, "Now what was my problem? What do I need to fix? Which hair was out of place? What needs to be shaved? What needs to be washed? What needs to put away all kinds of wrinkles or anything I might have on myself?" Do we forget about that? Is that the same attitude that we have with God's Word? Do we pick it up? Do we read it? Do we study it? Well, it's one thing to learn it, but you know, it's also another thing to do it. And the more we read and study, the more we know, and therefore it's easier to put into practice. And so as we follow these directions, let's find out, what is the Bible way to get into heaven? Well, just like the world says, there is a certain direction to follow. But have you ever heard the old song, "I'm using my Bible for a road map"? If we want to get to heaven, that's the best way to tell us how to get there. In fact, it is the only way. And when we study the Word of God, we find there are three things that really do matter. The first is, where do we go to church? You know, a lot of times people say, well, it doesn't matter if you go to church here or you go to church there. It doesn't matter what you believe because we're all trying to get to the same place. But remember what Jesus said when he said, I am the way. Jesus had a lot to say about the church, didn't he? Remember in Matthew chapter 16, he had a conversation with his disciples saying, who do men say that I am? And of course, there were those that believed he was John the Baptist. There were those that he was believed to be Jeremiah or perhaps one of the prophets. But Jesus asked them, but who do you say that I am? Peter, as always, was quick to respond. And there he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And remember Jesus' response in verse 18. He says, thou art Peter, but upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus promised to build his own church. Now, those of you that like to build things, well, you understand that there has to be a great cost in construction, isn't there? If you start a project, you have to have enough money to purchase the land, to do the building, to add on any other extremities that it might need. And so what was Jesus going to purchase the church with? Well, the book of Acts in chapter 20, verse 28, gives us the answer. He purchased the church with his own blood. He died for it. He shed his blood not only to save us from our sins, but also to purchase the church. And when we learn that Jesus promised to build it, he purchased it with his own blood, we find in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, there is one body and one spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. We know that there is one body, and in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, and in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul explains that Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. Now, if you ever struggled in math, I'm going to tutor you a little bit because that's what I used to do. Math was one of my best subjects, and I know there is at least one person here that can tell you that I was able to help them through a very difficult class. And so, as we learn, in math there is something known as the transitive property of equality, which basically states if A equals to B and B equals C, then A equals C, right? Well, let's apply it to the Bible. When Jesus says that there is one body, the body is the church, that means there is one church, right? Jesus promised to build it. He shed it with his own blood. We find that it is named after him from Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. The churches of Christ salute you. So, does it really matter where we go to church? According to the Bible, it certainly does. The second thing that matters is, how do we worship? You know, a lot of times we hear people saying, well, you could use instrumental music. You can worship God this way. You don't have to do that. There are all kinds of items and things that you need to bring into the Lord's house. But what does the Bible say? Well, let's go to Jesus' own words. There in Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 8, he tells us how important that is. In fact, he says it this way. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. What does it mean to do something in vain? Well, if you were to ask Solomon, he would be glad to tell you. The book of Ecclesiastes, often we find, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Why? Because he was trying to find what is the meaning of life. I've tried this, and I've tried that, and I've even tried the other, and none of them work. I thought they would give me happiness, but they do not. It's worthless. And so, what did he say was the conclusion of the whole matter? But to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. And Jesus says, there are those that worship me, but it does not benefit them, and it certainly is not pleasing unto my heavenly Father. When Jesus was addressing the Samaritan woman, there in John chapter 4, he also said something that is very valuable even unto us. There in verse 23, he says, the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Yes, we've already talked about what is truth. Remember John 14:6? Jesus said, I am it. I am the truth. But believe it or not, there are two other sources of truth. If you go to John chapter 17, you find them. In verse 3, Jesus addressed his heavenly Father, saying, you are the only true God. And then later in verse 17 in his prayer, he said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is true. So, does the word of God tell us how to worship? Do we have a command from God? Did Jesus certainly set an example? Well, if so, that's how we worship. If not, Jesus said, it is vanity. So it matters which church we are a part of. It matters how we worship, but finally it matters how we live our lives. If we were just to live our own way, you could see what a place of chaos this world would be. I would do what I would think is right, and you would do what you think is right. And if we all had different ideas of what is right, it would be hard for us to get along. It would be hard for us to be of the same mind one toward another, even when the Bible says, with this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's why the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 10, teaches us, be thou faithful even until death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. How are we to be faithful? Well, certainly we should be faithful in our church attendance. You know, the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 teaches us about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but rather exhorting one another, and even so much the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but when I know that the doors are going to be open for me to worship God and fellowship with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to edify one another, I feel like I need to be there. In fact, God encourages me to be there. There's so much that I can do for others, and there's so much that others can do for me. But it only happens if all of us attend. But also, we need to be faithful in our Bible study. Remember what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15? He said, study or be diligent to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but can rightly divide the word of truth. I don't want to be ashamed when somebody asks me a question that I cannot answer. But you know, I may not can tell them off the top of my head, but at least I ought to say, well, let's go to the Bible to see where can we find out. What book would God have this answer in? And therefore, we can do that. But also be faithful in living the Christian life, and sharing the gospel message with others. You know, we have some examples of those that did not do everything that God said, some of which we find in the Old Testament. But as Paul said in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the things that were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You remember Cain and Abel? Some of us were studying about them just a little while ago. Remember that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and we know that God was pleased with his offering, but not with Cain's. Why? Because Cain did not do so in a way that was pleasing unto God. Or what about Nadab and Abihu? You remember them? They offered a sacrifice like God told them to, except they did not use the fire that He commanded them. We don't know where it came from, but we know that it was not what God said. And as a result, these individuals certainly perished from the earth. And so, when we examine our own lives, there is a question that we need to ask ourselves in reality. Where are you going? You ever hear somebody say, well, I don't know until I get there? I used to hear a sign that was posted in the office of where my mom works talking about if somebody were to go off and look for themselves, if they were to come back and somebody found them before they got back to tell them where they've been and where they need to go. And it got very confusing when you think about how sad the world looks at it. And so what if we're going the wrong way? What if we're going down that broad way that leads unto destruction, which leads to the second death, which is hell? We need to make a U-turn. Repent of our sins. Confess Christ. Believe that He is the only begotten Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of our sins. And then live that faithful Christian life. But what if we're going the right way that leads unto heaven? We need to stay on the straight and narrow path. Remain faithful as God has called us to live. And so that's up to you. That's up to me this morning. Which road are we taking? Do we need to get in the bright and shining way? Well, now we're just about to sing a song to encourage you. And if you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.